So today's theme is love. And as the intro to the movie Love Actually states, I too think that love is everywhere. It may not always be seen as newsworthy, but it is there. Parents and children, siblings, wider family, friends, husbands and wives. And at the end of that intro, Hugh Grant says that if you look for it, I think you'll find that love actually is all around us. But why do I think this? Where does that love come from? Before going on to look at love, let's just remind ourselves of what we've been studying so far. This year we've been journeying through the themes of hope, peace and joy, and we've been concentrating on our relationship with God the Father, and how as we look to celebrate Christ's first coming, as we look forward to his second coming, we're stepping into trusting God. We're learning to accept that embrace which he is offering for us, and to trust in what he is telling us. And for the most part, we've looked at this through the lens of confession, and that being an important part of our connecting with God. Reminding ourselves that to know God, to enter into a true covenant relationship with him, we must put all of ourselves on the table, offering it to God as he offers everything to us. And he says, of everything that he has here, you have access to it. You see, we're being called back into full relationship, to true relationship with God. That's letting him be involved in our every decision. That's letting him guide us, strengthen us, comfort us. And not looking for things from elsewhere, but placing our identity in him and him alone, allowing him to be our Lord. And allowing that which he gives us, that which he gives us access to shape us and to form us. In a letter to the Romans, Paul writes at the start of chapter 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now for the previous 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has been pushing home the truth of God's mercy. And we read things such as, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The mercy which is on offer from God is there for all who want to step into it, all who choose to believe. And Paul stating here at the start of chapter 12 that because of this offer of mercy, he is urging the followers of the way in Rome to offer themselves fully to God. Paul says be a living sacrifice. But there is one problem with living sacrifices. They tend to keep getting up and crawling off the altar. But Paul is not really talking here about a ritualistic sacrifice. It's not supposed to be this public presentation where we put ourselves up on the altar and we sit there. It's not an outward act to appease others or to make others take note of what we're doing, of what we're saying, of how we're acting. No. It's an inward response. It's a response of the heart to hearing the message and accepting the gospel. Note that Paul writes, this is your spiritual act of worship. It's about your response to God. It's not about you, it's about your response to God. And John, in his first letter, he wrote, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You see, love is from God. It is not something which we can conjure up like a magic trick. It is something which is given to us. The love which John is talking about here is the kind of love which spills over the limits of any definition that we could give to love. It is a love which goes further than you can even imagine. It's without limits. It's without borders. It can't be boxed. It's not controllable. It's not containable. We can't stop the effect of that love. The effect it has on us and the effect that we, because of it, have on this world. God's love for us, for you, for me, is limitless. There are no bounds to that love. It is because of that love that we are able to actually love others. It is through that love that we are able to show love. It is a result of that love which should be compelling us to love our neighbours, to love them as ourselves, to love them as God loves them. Remember, there is no scope, there is no boundary, there is no limit to God's love. And as such, in saying yes to relationship with him, in saying yes to following him, there should be no limit to our love for others. Now please don't for one second think that I have got this all sorted, that I've got it figured out, and that it's easy for me to love others. It isn't. I struggle as much as anybody else with those who cause trouble, pain, those who bring tension into the lives of those who we love, those who bring tension into our lives and make it much more difficult than we feel it should be. And so as I was preparing this message, as I'm stood here saying it now, it's a struggle for me, as I'm sure it is a struggle for you. And yet, here we are, the fourth Sunday of Advent, looking at the theme of love, approaching Christmas, a time when we remember Jesus born in a stable, God with us, Emmanuel, that sign of love that God sent his only son to come to live on earth, to be with mankind, and then ultimately to give his life as a ransom for many. And because of that, we get to love. We get to love because of that. Because God first loved us. Everything we know of love comes from God. Now we try at times to maybe distort it or to make it about us. But the truest sense of love is that it is about anything but us. The extended reading from our gospel today included Mary's song, a passage of scripture which really speaks of God's love for this world, for his people, and it concludes by saying, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. This ending is all about keeping hold of the assurance of God to be true to his promises. God promises to love you. He promises to keep you. He assures you of his mercy. It's there for all who want to step into it. It's there for all who want to step into living his way. So a question for you all as you approach Christmas, as you look forward to celebrating the coming of Christ. Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to step into, maybe return to, the only way? You see, love is all around. Love, it's everywhere you look. If you look with his eyes, you will see it more clearly. You will see it if you actively live into love. Because if you live into love, then God lives in you. You get to see with his eyes. You get to join in with the things that you start to see. And you're more able to help in the building of his kingdom. In writing to the church in Corinth, Paul tells us that if we have not love, we have nothing. And that's really important for us to grasp. If we have not love, then we have nothing. And therefore, love is everything. Why? Because God is love. You see, to be loved is to be known. And God knows you intrinsically. He knows every detail about you. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He knew you then. He's known you every day since. And he knows you now. And in that knowing, he tells you about himself. He lets you know what he likes. He lets you know what he doesn't like. He tells you things like, draw near to me. Come you who are weary, you who are heavy laden. Let me give you rest. Let me give you that which you need. You don't need to find it elsewhere. Don't strive for it elsewhere. I am living water. I am all you need. He sits with you. He asks you to come into relationship with him, to get to know him, to spend time in his word, to be actively praying and seeking his will for you and your life. And from that, getting to know him, from that growing into his love more and more each day. And as you grow, as you bask in his presence, it makes a difference. It starts to change you. It starts to lesser who you are without him. John the Baptist's philosophy of more of you, Lord, and less of me. The more time we spend with him, the more time we engage with him, the better we treat that relationship and that trust, the more we can live into that statement. More of you, Lord, and less of me. It gives us a new perspective of life when we do this. It gives us a new perspective of the world, of his creation, of those he has placed around us, of those in our community, as we get to look again with fresh eyes, with his eyes, on what is about us. And as we do this, as we come to him, as we share with him all that we are, truly living a life with him, letting him have the pride of place in our life, that place which he is deserving of, then we can start to really live the life that he is calling us to. We can step up and into a life of abundance, a true, full life. So remember, love flows from God. Knowing God is loving God. And loving God means loving others. It means accepting that we don't get to choose who we love, because we're called to love all, just as God loves all, because we are an extension of him. Faith and hope are gifts which Paul tells us are not greater than love. Faith, hope and love, these three things will be around forever, but love will outlast all. Why? How is love greater than faith? How is love greater than hope? Well, you see, love outlasts all things because God is love. God commands us to love one another. Jesus' words to his followers were that the world will know you. He will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. So we're called to love God. We're called to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And from there, with that support and that encouragement that comes because of our choosing to step into and live in this way of love, we're called to share love with the world. See, love is the governing principle that controls all that God and all that his redeemed people are and do. Without love, we have nothing. Love is the governing principle. And so, as those opening words to love actually state, love is everywhere. It may not be dignified. It may not always be seen as newsworthy. It may not be seen by others. But if you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around us. Amen.